I was born and raised in India.
What was America's reaction to Ayurveda when you started off?
Not everybody knows what Amla is, what Pringraj is. We know, we understand, we're from Indian origin, but
I'm sure a lot of our viewers would have heard this term for the first time, trichology.
Hello and welcome to the Indian Community Podcast. I'm your host, Amit Gupta, and with me is my co-host, Rahul Mehra. Today, we are excited to host Meerika Khanna on our podcast. Meerika is the founder of Prithvi, a pioneering Ayurveda brand at the forefront of clean and sustainable hair care. Meerika has masterfully combined the ancient practices of Ayurveda with the precision of modern science to create products that not only nourish hair but also embrace eco-friendly, sustainable practices. Prior to founding Prithvi, Meerika was the global marketing director at SAP. Meerika lives with her family in New York and is here to talk about how she established a well-loved D2C brand in the US and the opportunities in the sustainable beauty sector for immigrants like us. Welcome to the Indian Community Podcast, Meerika.
Thank you.
Welcome, Meerika.
Thank you, Rahul. Thank you, Amit.
So, Meerika, to start with, can you share your journey with us? What inspired you to start Prithvi and how did your journey with Ayurveda begin?
Well, I was born and raised in India. I came to the US in 2005. And like everybody else, I had dreamed to be a part of corporate world. And I was a part of corporate world, like Amit said. I was with SAP for over 10 years. And I reached a point in my life wherein I felt like there was a disconnect in terms of what I was doing, who I was. And I felt a need to create an opportunity for myself and for Ayurvedic practices in the US. And that just led me to gain more knowledge in Ayurveda, in cosmetic formulation and trichology, and I launched Prithvi. That's basically it.
That's cool. So Meerika, what was America's reaction to Ayurveda when you started off? Did people know about Ayurveda? Do people still know or understand Ayurveda?
Well, the things have, you know, time has really changed. When I first started in 2019, when I started to think about launching an Ayurvedic brand, you had to explain Ayurveda to me. But that's not the case. And I think COVID really helped bring this shift. You'll see, you know, in general, people who are wellness minded, they're taking supplements like ashwagandha, they're taking turmeric, and they try to be more mindful. And anytime you try to be more mindful of your body and of your health and wellness, Ayurveda just automatically plugs in. And also, you know, yoga as a, you know, as a practice has been now widely followed all over the world, and especially in the US. And I think all of this combined to the, basically to the success of Ayurveda, or the awareness, I should say, of Ayurveda in the US. So now I don't get that question, what is Ayurveda? I don't have to explain to people, oh, this is Amla, or this is Ashwagandha. I don't have to do that. They know it.
And people, so this is not just the Desi population. So you're also talking about the rest of the people who are not of Indian origin. Is that?
Interestingly, yes. Yes. Part of our customer base is Caucasians. So Westerners, right? And they've adapted to the Ayurvedic lifestyle, and it's easier.
Yeah, I think thanks to entrepreneurs like you who are also spreading the word and creating that awareness. I follow Prithvi a lot, and I also have purchased on your website previously. You'll see on in your CRM. And the one thing that I've noticed, Rahul, on Meerika's platform is she speaks regularly about herbal products and herbs especially, right? So there's always great explanation available on her Instagram page about what the herbs are, and you know, all the myths and facts are clearly explained. So thank you for that, you know, helping us build that awareness and visibility about these ancient formulations.
Absolutely, you're right. There always have to be some sort of an education and awareness that you have to bring in to play when it comes to products like Ritviz or Ayurvedic products, because not everybody understands, right? Not everybody knows what Amla is, what Bringraj is. We know, we understand, we're from Indian origin, but in general, you know, now the customers are more open to such ingredients and herbs, and they're welcoming it.
Especially the second generation. So I have a teenager, and now she understands Amla and Shikakai and these kind of things because of the awareness that's being put together, right? I mean, these kids have not grown up in India, so they don't know the power of these herbs, right? So I think this is really helpful for making sure that our future generations are also able to hold on to these values and recipes.
You're absolutely right. And I think I forgot to mention that, you know, one of the reasons I did start the brand, because I felt that Ayurveda, when I started, was really glamorized in the Western world. You know, there was like a Bollywood angle attached to it. But when you grow up in India, you experience a different side of that Ayurveda. It is a lifestyle. It's wellness, right? We're not looking at yellow colors and like Bollywood movies. We are really, it's, you know, neem, la. Ashwagandha. These are basic ingredients that we use in the daily lives. And I wanted to make sure that the wellness aspect and the benefits are correctly portrayed so that our future generations know that they have this wealth for them and to use it effectively.
So Medhika, like you said, that Ayurveda is a very glamorized term used in the US. So how can a customer, you know, a buyer, know whether a product is truly Ayurvedic or not, or how much Ayurvedic it is? I mean, you know, there are so many products.
So things have definitely changed, Rahul. There was a customer specifically went for those authentic Ayurvedic formulas and recipes. However, in today's day and age, I think it's important to look Ayurveda not in isolation, but as a part of your entire wellness journey. So if you have, you know, if you have Amla or Shikakai mixed with a clean science-based ingredient like amino acids or soy protein, it's beneficial for you, right? And more customers are looking at it that perspective. They're adapting it as a wellness routine, not just focusing on whether it's, you know, it's authentic Ayurveda or not. Not to say that they are, you know, they're not, then no other brand is doing it, but definitely there are brands that are, they're authentic Ayurvedic and customers love them too. But for Ritvi, it has always been about combining the principles of Ayurveda and age or wisdom of Ayurveda and taking it and marrying it with the modern technology, science, and trichology to give our customers the best.
So it's an interesting mashup of modern science and Ayurvedic knowledge, right? And so what is your typical process of developing a product from concept to market? So, you know, initially the product takes birth in the mind, but then how to actually get that product to market?
So, Amit, when I first started, my whole purpose was to make sure that our customers get products that are effective and that really do help them. So, and because of that in mind, I studied trichology. And what I do when I start a formulation process, I look at my customers and their needs, and I see what exactly they're struggling with. If somebody is struggling with, let's say, dandruff or dry hair or scalp, we keep that in mind and the requirements of the customers and create the products according to that requirement. So if we're doing this, we're going to pick plant-based oils, for example. We'll see which oil will be best suited for dry scalp or dry hair, and what other science-based ingredients we can put in it to increase the effectiveness of the product. So we take all of that in account and create sometime like 20 to 30 formulas and then test those formulas. And once we have the final formula, we go ahead and start the production.
So for each product, there are at least 20 formulas created. And how do you test the product?
So we basically ask our customers to test. Okay. A lot of times and family are willing to test. So that's how we get it. So, now we have a large customer base, and anytime we have product close to final, we will give it out to our customers to test it.
That's great.
We have to get our friends and family list around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Mirika, Ritvi is also a business,
Yes.
It has to make money to
sell. Absolutely.
So can you throw some light on marketing strategies? What marketing strategies have been most effective?
So when it comes to Ritvi, when we first started, this was during the COVID time. So it's really 2021 is going to be the brand kicked out. We focus on digital marketing. For a D2C's brand, that was one of the main marketing strategies that we focused on, because we knew that's something that can be done easily during the time that we were living in. And that was the focus of social media. We did a lot of Google marketing and pay-per-clicks, your paid media. And in addition to that, I would also say that public relations, PR, has helped us a lot. Organic PR definitely helps, and organic social reach. So that's something that we noticed, that if you produce content, like what Amit said initially, if you produce content that is beneficial for your target customers and it's actually helping them make a decision or solving a problem, it always works. So understanding what your customer wants to hear, what they're going through, is very important when it comes to marketing and just choosing the right channel.
That's great.
You are following a problem-solving approach for your customers. That's the approach.
Absolutely. Ritvi is a brand that solves problems. It's a proactive hair wellness brand. We try to educate our customers that they should proactively take care of their hair and their scalp in order to, have this beautiful hair forever. So basically the essence of Ayurveda. So it's important to educate them through various different channels.
How did you come up with this name, Ritvi? What is the origin of this this brand name? I really like it. I mean, I don't think I've come across this word in this format ever. So it's a very unique name.
So Ritvi was taken from the word Prithvi, which is the earth.
Correct.
So, that's how we started. But Ritvi also means in Sanskrit, right guidance. And that is the essence of the brand, right? So we want to guide our customers with right products and right routines to help them achieve hair wellness.
So Ritvi means right guidance in Sanskrit.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was not aware of that. That is, I was always thinking it's a play with the word Prithvi, which you've also acknowledged, but I wasn't aware of the Sanskrit origin of the word.
That is how it actually started, a play of Prithvi. But when we found out it also means right guidance, it was a no-brainer for us.
Absolutely. So in fact, speaking about problems and problem solving, I think one of the most problematic topic these days is about sustainability. We hear a lot about companies, focusing on sustainable products and sustainable marketing and strategies around that, right? Especially in the beauty sector, what are the trends that you're noticing around sustainable beauty? And how is Ritvi adapting to these changes?
So Ritvi from the day one has been a sustainable. Obviously, our name comes from Prithvi, so we cannot, mess around with that, right? So each and every ingredient that we put in products, they're sustainably sourced. So there's no palm oil in it. We also make sure that the packaging, that we use sustainable packaging. So our bottles, you see, these are glass bottles that we use. And our shampoo and conditioner bottles are HDPE. So they are recyclable and recyclable. So Kumar, and we make sure that our products are sustainable, packaging is sustainable. And I think that is one of the biggest trends in the industry. Customers are really mindful of their, you know, of their footprint on the planet, and they want to make sure they're using products that are sustainable, especially packaging, and recycle them correctly. So Ritui has always been a sustainable brand, and we continue to be that way.
So the oil is in glass bottles. So does that also help you with, preventing frozen oil? Absolutely.
So we have two bottles. So this bottle, so this is our Revitalized Scalp Oil. And Revitalized Scalp Oil has a lot of extracts and essential oils. And when a bottle is dark, it does help prevent, any sun exposure or damage to the product. So it actually helps.
Yeah, the one thing I'll tell you, because I have the exact product at home, and we also have an Indian, and I'm not going to take the name of it, but there's also another Indian oil brand that we have at home, but that freezes up in winter, right? And now this winter, my Ritui bottles did not, the oil was pretty much in its liquid form. And I was amazed. I was like, okay, I don't have to, go down to the microwave and heat this up and make sure that this is usable, right? So the bottle was pretty much, intact, and the oil was in its liquid form. So I thought that was a really good,
I think that doesn't have anything to do with the glass bottle, okay, to be honest. It is the actual oil itself. So certain plant-based oils, will lose a liquid form, especially coconut oil, and even jojoba oil also does that. So basically, in India, it's a common practice, but our products are created for the global market. So we've made sure that we create a balance in terms of our formula, that product remains ready to use throughout the year.
That's nice. Yes, that's very helpful, because that was when I actually noticed a big difference, because that was something that I couldn't use immediately. And this one was, maintained its form and shape throughout the year. So I was particularly impressed with that. I wasn't sure what is causing this, but I was like, okay, this is happening.
Now, what happens if you use a clear bottle for a product that has a lot of plant-based ingredients, it will go rancid.
Oh.
So that is the reason, we use black bottles to preserve the amazing ingredients we put in there. So even after 3 years, if you'll open a Ritui bottle, you will see the product will smell the same or perform the same.
And how did you get all this knowledge? Is it because of all the research that you put in into the products? How are you such an expert in this category?
Well, I had to educate myself. This definitely was a new category for me. Interestingly, when I quit SAP, I wanted to join L'Oreal, but I didn't have any experience, right, in beauty industry. So I decided to just start my own brand. But it was definitely years and years of learning and educating and understanding what it really takes to create good products.
That is it.
So Mirika, I had read it somewhere that about you. I was reading an article, and there was a mention that you have done some kind of certification, or you are some kind of...
Yes, that is correct. I am a certified cosmetic formulator. So like I mentioned at the beginning, when I left SAP and I wanted to do something of my own, and I knew that this was my calling, I went ahead and did a course. I always feel that it's important to educate yourself and know what you're doing before jumping into something, especially if you're new to the industry, because it makes the journey easier when you're well informed. So that is one of the things that I did. Go ahead.
What I read about was something related to hair care.
Yes, that is called trichology, like I mentioned. So I'm also a certified trichologist. Yes. So first I get a certification in cosmetic formulations. And then I realized that understanding ingredients is a great thing, but if I'm not able to understand my customer's true problem, I will not be able to create products that will help. So keeping that in mind, I gained a certification in trichology, and I feel like, you know, that really makes a good combination. Being able to use these amazing ingredients in Ayurveda and even modern science, and having that understanding of what my customers are going through and how to help them.
So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of our viewers would have heard this term for the first time, trichology. Can you put a little more focus on this? Well, what exactly are trichologists?
Trichologists, you would say, a hair expert, so a hair wellness expert. And it's a lot of times dermatologists also provide the same services, but a trichologist is a special certification when we understand the hair growth cycle, the kind of issues you can have when it comes to your scalp and your hair, and how the hair ages, how to prevent certain conditions. That's what it is. It's basically modern hair science, I would call it.
And Rahul, there's one interesting thing that I'm noticing here, or an interesting trend. I dwelt in this space a little bit, during my university days. I used to explore the hair industry from a different lens altogether. And the one thing that I would hear a lot of hairstylists say back in the day was, don't use oil. You know, oil is not good for hair, right? And this was more of a Western sort of a belief that that would come down. And I would hear a lot of good celebrity hairstylists actually be vocal about not using oil on the scalp. And now I'm seeing a very different trend, right? And things have turned around.
And I think that happens, Amit, because when you educate yourself and there is awareness, it's easier to adapt to a new routine or newer, for in this case, oils, which is quite foreign to Western lifestyle. When you know exactly how it performs and how it truly helps, it's easier to adapt.
Right. No, I remember that, when I was a kid, we used to have a oil bottle. It used to be a very normal one, like a coconut oil or, mustard oil, kept in the bag, kept near to your place of bathing, and you would take a shower and put some oil. In those days, it was not considered, greasy hair was not considered anything bad, So that is one of the reasons, a lot of people had healthy hair in those times.
You're absolutely right. I get this a lot. People say, oh, you're Indian. You have, good genes. You have good hair. It's like, no, that's not what it is. We start hair oiling when we are infants. As soon as the baby is born, you'll see grandmother, they start doing their massage and jumpy. That's just part of our lifestyle. So our hair is always nourished.
What is the right hair care routine? So let's hear this from an expert of how someone should actually take care of hair, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. Some people will think, don't use oil, don't use shampoo, or there's also this don't color your hair, don't go out in the sun. There's so many different misconceptions out there. So what is your recommendation of how somebody should take care of their scalp and hair?
I think the very first thing when you're trying to create a routine for yourself is to see what kind of issues you're having. If, a routine for somebody who is experiencing excessive shedding will be different from somebody who has, dry scalp or dandruff. If you have healthy hair and scalp and, want to adapt, and you should adapt a proactive hair wellness routine, then I would say once or twice a week, or massage, oil your hair with some herbal oils, massage your scalp, go to bed, wake up next day and wash your hair. I also recommend not using shampoos with sulfates, because sulfates are not good for your hair. So sulfates basically are really harsh cleansing agents, and what they do, they strip your scalp and hair of its natural oils. And you do need natural oils to maintain your scalp and hair health. So that is something that I would definitely recommend. And there is something here, especially in the Western world, in the US, a lot of women, they don't like to wash their hair regularly. And I think that is a complete no. You should never, you know, you should not wait for 10 days or 15 days in some cases to wash your hair. Hair should be and scalp should be cleaned regularly to maintain proper and optimal hair health.
How often is regular is appropriate?
Well, yes, good, great question. I think it actually depends on your hair type. So if you have thin hair, thin and oily hair, every day, every other day, it's great for you. If you have long hair and you have curly hair, dry hair, you could wait, I would say, 5 to 6 days before washing your hair again.
So Mirika, what I see is there are a lot of people I know who will not be able to, you know, categorize their hair type and, you know, how greasy their hair is or how thin their hair are, you know, easily. So is there a place to go where, you know, they can ask questions about their hair
routine? Absolutely. If people don't know what kind of hair texture, they have oily scalp, they can absolutely come to us. We do have a section on our website, Ask the Expert. Just go ahead and ask our experts and we'll get back to you. And you can just send your picture to us and we will analyze it and we'll help you.
We'll put the links in the description below.
That'll be great. More than happy to help.
That's cool. Mirika, can you share a particularly memorable or an unexpected customer moment which made your day and said, yes, this is the reason why I wake up every day?
I do receive a lot of emails on a weekly basis from our customers and reviews and how, you know, how beautiful the hair is and how, you know, great the products are working. However, there is one particular email I remember, you know, as a very ethnic brand, right? You know, people do associate Rithvi, especially I got this from a lot of Indians here in the US. When I first started the journey, we were going to name the brand Rithvi. However, we had some issues with the trademark, which now is ours, by the way. But initially, we had a lot of issues with the trademark and we decided to go with the brand name Rithvi. And there came a time when people were coming up to me and saying, it is a very ethnic name. People may not understand here. And there was one specific day that I received an email from an existing customer saying, why are you changing your name from Rithvi to Burr? That was an old bottle that they saw and they felt that we were going to change it. And it was not an Indian customer. It was a Caucasian customer. And they specifically said, please don't do it. We love who you are and what you stand for. And that truly made my day because I felt as a person, it's a BIPOC founder in this country, you know, people appreciating and understanding who you are and your unique identity, it always is one of the greatest.
That is beautiful. And you started off digitally, right? So selling online was where the product was actually born.
Yes.
And where can we find your products offline? Can we find it in stores?
So basically for right now, we are expanding our retail footprint. Yes, we are essentially a direct-to-consumer brand, and that's how we started. But you can find, we are in over, I would say, 200 salons at this
wow.
point of time. Yes, we launched on a specific platform called Salon Centric. And through that, we've been able to penetrate to our, you know, professional community. So there is a long list of salons where anyone can walk in. And in addition to that, we recently launched on a platform called 13 Loon. We are on Amazon. We are on Verishop. And soon we'll be adding more.
That is excellent.
Great. And what about the international plans, Mirika?
Great question. So we definitely are working on entering new markets. It's in works. We are working on Dubai, UAE, and Canada. Will be once we launch, we'll be announcing that.
Excellent. Any new products that are being formulated right now that you can talk about?
We always have a lot of formulas that we're working on. However, for now, we're trying to be mindful of what we're launching. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to be sustainable, not only in your approach when it comes to ingredient sourcing and your packaging, but also be mindful of only launching products that your customers truly. And that's been our focus. So we feel that, you know, the current assortment we have truly helps our customers. And when we do see a need from our customer, we will launch.
So that was a purely, intentional question, because I wanted to make sure that Rahul and I get on that friends and family list.
Well, we are always testing formulas. So we may not launch them, but we always have, that process is always on. So I'll definitely add you to the list.
So for a lot of people, Berika, I would like to tell them that since I know you, you are a mother of two beautiful kids. And you have your household responsibilities also. You do take care of them. So how do you balance your time with such, your business is upcoming and you are everywhere. So how do you balance two things? It's not very easy.
It is not easy. It's definitely not easy. And sometimes I succeed and there are times I fail. I'll admit that. But I do make sure that evening times I'm kept for my family. I try not to take any calls. And I also try to avoid travel unless it's necessary. So for trade shows, I'll travel to meet new buyers. But I try to, stay away from a lot of partying and unnecessary networking if I can, because I do know that I have responsibilities. My family needs me, my girls need me, and I need to be there for them. And that makes me happy, that makes me
happy. Great, that's excellent.
That's wonderful. And Mirika, when you spoke about these new markets like Dubai and, UAE, there's a dramatic difference in culture and beliefs and even hair types and stuff, right? So the routines may be very different from what you would see with Caucasian customers.
Right.
How are you investing time and effort to study more about the market and the consumers in that market? So how do you do your research for these new markets?
So Amit, I always say that our website itself shows us a lot of data. It gives us a lot of information. We do get a lot of organic traffic from UAE, Saudi Arabia, Canada. So we know that the customers here are interested in our products. Mm-hmm. In terms of, different hair types, we have different hair types in the US too. Our products are created for everyone. Right. So, for example, if you have really dry hair, you may leave in the oil longer, or if you have thin hair, you may go for the serum more. But essentially, the products work for everybody. So we don't really have to create newer products for your market. We just have to understand the customer base. And I think marketing is where the difference is going to be. But, in general, Ayurveda and Ayurvedic awareness is everywhere. And there are a lot of Indians in Canada and even in UAE, but even locals appreciate wellness-based products, and we know that there is a big market there.
And this is a personal question. Does diet play a role with your health wellness?
Absolutely.
It does?
Absolutely. Diet definitely plays a huge role. That plays a role, with everything, right? So if you want, hair is a reflection of our overall balance. So if we have to maintain a balanced diet, you have to control stress and exercise regularly in order to have beautiful hair.
Any particular foods that we must avoid or maybe have more of for healthy hair?
I think it's in general, your proteins and green leafy vegetables should be focusing on those. There is nothing in particular that you need to avoid. Everything that you avoid to maintain a healthy and a balanced, body, that's enough, basically.
Okay. So Rahul, that means chole bhature is safe, right? Sure.
But chole?
Yes.
Chole bhature is for Punjabis, right? Chole bhature is actually because of chole, right?
Chole
not a protein.
This some like it because of chole, some people like it because of bhature. So, you know, there are personal choices.
No, so the next time we can, if you're being stopped from having chole bhature, we can say, Neerika says that you can have chole bhature. It's good for hair. It has protein in it. So I'm going to quote this this part of the video.
Yeah, you can quote it for the chole part, you can cut, but the for bhature, for the cholesterol, I will stay away. I am not going to make a comment. You should definitely listen to your physician when it comes to your cholesterol levels and your consumption of bhature.
Absolutely. The other day we were in a podcast with a young guy who's making candies in India. And Rahul asked him for a chole bhature flavored candy. So you can imagine.
Yeah.
But that is quite interesting. There used to be, when I was younger, there used to be this Swad candies, Swad Golis, right? Yes. And they I think something like that could definitely be done with chole.
They were like masala, masala.
But it's chole masala, right? Masala.
No, that is.
I have to not.
In fact, I do pick up Swad every time we go to Patel's. We'll pick up Swad or Pulse and those kind of candies which have masala in it. So, Rahul, you should go for a patent for the chole bhature candy. That is excellent. Perfect.
That's interesting.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Neerika. I think this was a wonderful session. You shared so much about your brand, Ritvi. How you went about establishing it, and also so many insights about both hair wellness and the beauty industry itself. We are really delighted for the work that you're doing for the community, in terms of the awareness and the education that you spread across your social channels. So we're really thankful to you on behalf of the entire community. And I would like to just say that please go on, continue, and we're cheering for you. And if there's any last message that you want to share back.
Well, first thing first, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here and to be able to speak to Indian community. A short and simple message that I want to say, I want to give, is oftentimes when we come from India and we see opportunities, but then comes a time there are no opportunities for us. But if you are going through a phase wherein you're not finding right opportunities for yourself, go ahead and create those opportunities. And I think that is one of the most important things that I think our younger generation and youth should remember, be it workspace, be it your social space. If you are in the US or any other country outside of India, or even in India, oftentimes you won't find the right opportunities. You should go ahead and create those opportunities for yourself.
That is very thoughtful. And Neerika, are you also open to people reaching out to you as a mentor, especially if people who are getting started off in their journey? Are you open to mentor them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to do that. So if there's anybody out there who wants to start their own business, I'm here. I can guide you on trademarks. I can guide you how to do operate your companies and everything that you want, starting your marketing and everything. I'm always here. I would love to help.
Excellent. I think we should do an episode on trademarks, especially for a lot of founders who need it. In fact, sometimes I feel we also need it. That's definitely
the very first thing when you start a brand, trademark it.
That's great. Perfect. So Neerika, we're going to come knocking on your doors, asking for help on this subject. And also hopefully more from the community should reach out to you and you can guide them.
Absolutely. It'll be my pleasure.
Thank you so much, Neerika. Thank you for being on the Indian Community Podcast.
Thanks, Amit. Thanks, Rahul.
Thank you.